The Fan on Demand.
PartyPoker.net invites you to win it all in Montreal. Play in one of the daily online qualifiers and earn your way to a seat in the World Poker Tour Montreal at the world-famous Playground Poker Club. This is your chance to play for a share of over $1 million in Canada's biggest World Poker Tour. Qualify now for free at PartyPoker.net. No one does the WPT like PartyPoker.net. Terms and conditions apply. Players must be aged 18 or over.
This is The Poker Show with Chris DeCiro, brought to you by PartyPoker.net on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, or Rob Wong and Chris DeCiro joining us over the phone this week. And, of course, we continue our coverage of the Lederer files, and there definitely has been a lot of feedback about the seven-part series put out there by PokerNews.com ever since it came out last week. And we'll get two men's thoughts on the Lederer files, and two men very close to Howard Lederer, Elie Elezra and Mike Matisau. Join us later in the program, Chris. Two men that are very outspoken, and I'm sure we'll have a lot of interesting things to say.
Well, I think there's a couple of things that make this interesting. One, Elie in particular is very close to Howard, but also both of these gentlemen had the opportunity. Mike Matisau mentions it in his book, and Elie Elezra has spoken about it in the past. Both of them had the opportunity very early on to become one of the first initial handful of investors in Full Tilt Poker, and neither of them took that opportunity. So they could have been one of those people with, you know, $20-30 million in the bank, and be one of the people really heavily embroiled in this whole problem of whether they have to return the money and everything else. So I think you get a couple of interesting and unique views. And, you know, Elie is known in the poker community as a very stand-up guy. He's a businessman. He's a very honorable man. And I think, you know, you'll get the truth from him. And Mike Matisau has never really been accused of being shy with his opinion.
No, that definitely is not the case with Mike Matisau. And, you know, just thinking about on the surface, you know, would you want to be any of those men right now that are embroiled in all the things with Full Tilt Poker? Yeah, you had the money, you made tons of dough, and, you know, for now anyways, it seems like you've gotten away with it. But, you know, in the end, I mean, was it really worth it? And it's something, I mean, I just think in my head, I mean, would I want to be in their shoes right now? It's, to be honest with you, it's kind of a tough decision because, you know, nothing obviously has happened yet, and we'll see what happens down the road. But, you know, I'm sure if you just asked, you know, the general public, if you asked 10 people, you might get, you know, 10 different answers. Who knows?
Well, I think, you know, the answer to that question, truthfully, if you want to be in their shoes, is going to boil down to whether they actually are forced to give back the money. You know, at the end of the day, if people think slightly ill of you, that you may or may not have known that something was going on, but they're not really sure, but you got $20 million in the bank to help pave your way, I think there's a lot of people who would choose cash over contents in that particular situation. So, I don't know, man. That's really a tough one. You know, what's your reputation worth? What's your ability to show up in public? And, you know, not that that stopped anybody except for Howard Lederer, Ray Parham, Chris Ferguson from showing up. I mean, even Russ Hamilton still makes the odd trek to the casino and plays $1, $2 poker here and there, that, you know, which people immediately report upon, and someone goes down to accuse him and, you know, yada, yada, yada. But look at you know, at the end of the day, what's your word worth? What's your personality worth? What's your status in the community worth? And are you willing to give that up for $20 million? And I think there's a really large chunk of the population that would say, hell yeah, give me the money.
Yeah, it's definitely a tougher decision than I think some are making it out to be with all that has gone on. But, of course, after his seven-part mini-series with PokerNews.com, Howard Lederer has followed it up. He was on the 2+2 poker cast and, you know, mentioned the fact that discussed the decision of the owners to not return the distributions after Black Friday. Lederer said the idea was brought up, but it was never a possibility other than the $14 million that Chris Ferguson lent to the company after Black Friday. Not a single owner, including Lederer himself, offered to return the distributions to the company. He said, quote, "You have to realize we couldn't get members to return their loans, so the idea of getting them to return their distributions was just a pipe dream." And I guess that sort of lends credence into the thought that, you know, you have all this money and you don't really know what to do with it. I guess you're just not sure. I mean, you feel pretty good about keeping it, I guess, if you don't know where it's coming from.
Well, you know, and it's really, if you look at the big picture, it's really short-sighted. I mean, this was a company that, you know, by some reports was raking $1.5 million a day during their peak operating times. So you got this golden goose, and yeah, you got a big chunk of money out of it. But I think if they'd have pumped the money back in, there was a chance that Full Tilt could have done what PokerStars did and recover worldwide and continue to operate. And then those checks are coming in for the next 50 years as opposed to, you know, you're just getting to keep what you have. So I think that was pretty short-sighted of people. Of course, nobody knew what was going to happen. Nobody knew what the DOJ was going to seize. Nobody knew anything of those things. So, you know, I guess it's pretty hard, especially if you think that your income stream may have ended, to convince people to give back what they have in the bank.
Yeah.
And besides, they're all gamblers. Most of them probably betted on whether Notre Dame was going to cover the spread.
Yeah, or whether it was an interception or a touchdown catch in the Packers-Seahawks game. And, you know, it's funny because Lederer pretty much mentions in the Lederer files that, you know, they're just making money hand over fist. There was so much excess cash that they really didn't even know what to do with it. So, I mean, it really just tells you how much of a boom and how great of a start Full Tilt Poker got off to. Should mention, of course, when it comes to Full Tilt Poker, that the PokerStars has detailed the plans for the Full Tilt Poker relaunch and the repayment of $184 million to players that are non-U.S. residents. Unfortunately for those in the U.S., they still do not know how and when and if they are going to be getting their money back. Hopefully, they will get it eventually, but we'll see what happens there. Of course, France, Spain, Denmark, Estonia, Belgium are countries thrown into there. They'll be getting it from the locally licensed PokerStars platform. As far as Italy goes, PokerStars working with regulators to determine the appropriate process to ensure compliance with local regulations. No details exactly that I've been able to see yet on Canada, but maybe if you do know, you can let us know on Twitter at Chris DeCiro, at WongSN590, but I'd imagine probably through the locally licensed PokerStars platform. I don't know exactly, but that seems to make sense as far as that goes. I mean, as we know, the government doesn't get too much into this, Chris.
Well, I know that the emails have gone out, and some players in Canada have received them saying, you know, we need you to provide certain documentation in order to facilitate your refund. So I would expect that if you were a Canadian, and like myself, you had $4.17 on in a Full Tilt Poker account, that as soon as you're able to fill out 7,000 or 8,000 pieces of documentation, you should be able to reclaim most, if not all, of your money from Full Tilt Poker. I don't believe Ray Bittar will be driving it to your house personally.
He won't be backing up the Brinks truck, eh?
Yeah.
You know, that would be interesting, though. It'd be like, you know, when athletes come to give out season tickets to season ticket holders, and they show up at your door. Ray Bittar showing up and giving you your money back. That'd be pretty interesting. I don't know if you'd be able to leave your house, but, you know, that's definitely a conversation for another day. We move from all the mess with Full Tilt Poker and Howard Lederer to some, I guess, more positive news, some happier and news that makes you smile. Of course, we had Tony G on the show a couple of weeks ago, just before he was set to take part in his triathlon with Phil Hellmuth over at the World Poker Tour event in Malta. Tony G actually played in the event, and he actually finished 10th, so he just missed out on the final table. But in between all that, he was able to get into the triathlon with Phil Hellmuth, not your traditional triathlon, three-point shooting, swimming, and running. And of course, Tony G took the three-point shooting. No surprise there. Phil Hellmuth, good friends with one Michael Phelps, picked up the win as far as the swimming goes. But it was a timed event, and heading into the running, into the final event, it was Tony G with about a minute advantage, and he used that to his advantage and came away with the triathlon win, Chris.
And I know that plans are already underway. Phil Hellmuth has requested that they rerun this event, but they are going to make it into a pentathlon.
Okay.
Five events. The additional two events, since Phil lost, will be, I believe, World Series of Poker bracelets will be event number four. And event number five will be the most names you can drop in 60 seconds. So I know the handicappers are hard at work on it, but I believe Hellmuth would now be a slight favorite in the pentathlon.
Yeah, I think that might give him just a slight advantage going into that. So we'll have to keep tabs on what exactly happens there. I think Phil's going to take the name dropping category quite handily, of course, with the bracelets as well. But should be.
If Tony starts to drop Lithuanian names,
that's true.
You only can probably get in 2 or 3 in 60 seconds. Jonas Valančiūnas.
Yeah, and that's about it. And Tony G. There you go. Your two famous Lithuanians. So not too many name drops in the country of Lithuania. If you are Lithuanian, I'm sorry, but you probably agree with me. Anyways, another story that really caught my eye, Chris, and as we know, poker, definitely a reality TV kind of thing. We got, of course, the World Series of Poker going on. We know the World Poker Tour. I mean, fantastic television, high-stakes poker. I guess it's called Living the Life. It'll be a new reality TV series, and we had Jean-Robert Ballon on a couple of weeks ago, and he, of course, was on Survivor China, and one of his tribe mates, and somebody that actually voted him off the island, former USA Beauty contestant Amanda Kimmel. She has also been on Survivor numerous times. She is set to appear in a new reality TV series, like I mentioned, called Living the Life, where her and Trishelle Canatella, former Real World star, Real World Las Vegas, they'll travel the world, live a glamorous life, and make livings as a professional poker players. This is definitely an interesting story, Chris. I guess this sort of lends into the fact that maybe, just in regular everyday poker, a lot of these pros, they don't have too much personality, and maybe people that are trying to create some interesting television are going after people more mainstream and people that are more familiar with the general population.
Well, let's be clear on a couple things here. First of all, if someone else is putting up all of your buy-ins and staking you to play, you're not really making a living as a poker pro. What you're doing is keeping the benefits of the lottery that you get to enter on someone else's dime every week. So I'm not sure of the exact details yet, but I would be highly surprised if there wasn't some form of sponsorship behind these two lovely ladies as they hit the tables, which essentially removes all the risk and the fact that you need to win in order to continue to make a living from that whole process. But I understand this. And we've talked about this in the past. There's been a lot of conversation about it. If you talk to people like Daniel Negreanu, if you talk to people like Maury Eskandani, the producer of Poker After Dark and High Stakes Poker and now the World Series of Poker broadcast, they will tell you that one of the problems with these brilliant young players is they're so good because they play online 20 hours a day, 7 days a week. They've played a lifetime worth of poker, a Doyle Brunson lifetime worth of poker in a year or two, and that's why they're so good, and it's also why they're completely devoid of anything even remotely resembling personality. And so they make for terrible television. You need people with personality to make this sing. When you watch the World Series of Poker, the broadcasts that have been on this year, and they've been great. There's been some great episodes. But what are the focuses? Daniel Negreanu is the focus. Elizabeth Hiller, because, well, she's very pretty.
Yeah.
And she's a girl. And there's not a lot of girls, so she's unique. And what's the other big focus? Kevin Pollak. Because he's a brilliant poker player? No, because he's a celebrity. Because he's got personality. Because he does impressions. He jumps up and down and he runs around at the table. He's got personality. That's what makes these telecasts tick. 10 guys sitting around the table in hoodies and dark sunglasses, not talking to each other, may be great poker, but it's not great television.
Just got about a minute left here, Chris, before we head to the break. But I'm flipping through the Toronto Sun the other day, and I see some guy named Chris DeCero writing a column on poker. Do you know this guy?
I don't know, but they're sending his checks to my house, so don't say anything. Yeah, and listen, I have to say I want to thank the Toronto Sun. Bill Pierce, the sports editor there, contacted me a few weeks ago, asked me if I would be interested. I used to write stuff for them. I had a regular online column, and they would put the odd bit and piece here and into the hard copies of the paper. But he asked me if I would be interested in writing a weekly poker column to be in the Sun, to be in the hard copies of the paper every week. And I, as they say in poker, I snap called. I told him I was all in. And whether it's me writing it or anything else, I'm always really glad to see poker in the mainstream media. There's a great appetite for it from the masses. We had a great reaction this week from that initial column. And there's a lot of people out there that are fans of the game. So anything that promotes the game, I'm all for. And I want to thank the Sun for, bringing me back on board to write a column for them. And I'm looking forward to write some more about it.
Yeah, very nice.
I may drop your name in it, Rob.
You don't have to. It's okay, Chris. I appreciate it.
We got to talk about bad poker players too.
That's true. I can be in the Hall of Shame, if you will.
Oh,
we can put myself
fantastic.
In.
fantastic.
I'd be willing to put my name in there. But yeah, we'll definitely be keeping an eye out for it. Coming up next on The Poker Show, we'll speak with Elia Lesra, get his thoughts on everything that has been going on with Howard Lederer. That is next here on The Poker Show with Chris DeCero. I'm Rob Wong. We're brought to you by PartyPoker.net, and this is Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
PartyPoker.net invites you to win it all in Montreal. Play in one of the daily online qualifiers and earn your way to a seat in the World Poker Tour Montreal at the world-famous Playground Poker Club. This is your chance to play for a share of over $1 million in Canada's biggest World Poker Tour. Qualify now for free at PartyPoker.net. No one does the WPT like PartyPoker.net. Terms and conditions apply. Players must be aged 18 or over.
Welcome back to The Poker Show with Chris DeCero, brought to you by PartyPoker.net on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Rob Wong and Chris DeCero joining us over the phone, and joining us on the line as well is Elia Lesra. And welcome back to the show, Elia. I think the last time we chatted was before the World Series of Poker. What have you been up to over the last little while?
Well, I've been playing a little poker. No tournament for me. We've been playing in Aria and in Bellagio. The lineup, you know, right before the World Series, we used to have Phil Hellmuth, Mike Marisot, Doyle, Brenton Cantu, you know, all those guys. We're playing cheap, as I said before, 4 and 800. Jean Robert and Crazy Mike, fun games, you know. But I had a plan to go to the World Series, you know, in Europe, but I found out that Yom Kippur, you know, the Jewish holiday, was right in the middle, and I realized I won't be able, I'll miss like 3 or 4 tournaments, and I didn't want to fly for one event only, so I chose to stay.
Well, it certainly sounds like the cash games, by all accounts, have picked back up again. How were the games actually during the World Series, Elliot? Were they, I mean, Doyle had mentioned that they were playing a little bit bigger during the series.
Yes, we were. There was one in 2000. Gus was in town and few other internet kids like Abe and few other. So the games was... We used to have actually games in Aria and in Bellagio, like 2 games going at a time. So that was fun. And then there were, I would say, about 3 weeks of silence. You know, everybody kind of got the hangover of the World Series of Poker, but it started again, and I know there's even games in San Diego now. Crazy Mike moved over there. He got some kind of deal with the card room over there, so I know a few players move over there with him.
Well, we would be remiss, Ali, as well, if we didn't ask you. In poker news as of lately, Howard Lederer has come out and had a few things to say and has finally broken his silence. And I know that you hold a position of respect amongst poker players because you're a successful businessman as well. And, you know, when you sat back and looked at this whole affair, what were your thoughts on it?
Well, first I have to tell you, Howard is my friend. He was my friend and still my friend. We, until like before the DOJ make the last decision of all the mess that was, we were playing in his house every weekend, you know, playing high Chinese, me and him and Hawk and Doyle and even Ray Bittar was there. And, I mean, my opinion, when everything blew up, I was completely shocked. You know, I'm a company man. I wasn't an owner of any percentage on Full Tilt, but I was a pro over there. And believe me, when Poker Star finally came up with his announcement, I mean, I can see the relief on a lot of poker players that I'm playing with, people that I'm, you know, that I'm talking with on the phone. All the money going to be released. And, of course, they have the Poker Star, which is, you know, such a strong and you know, I talked to, in the past, I was going to make a deal with Ishai, you know, the owner over there, he's Israeli. And all what I can tell you, I take my hat for this guy. I mean, everybody going to trust him forever, you know. He got such a strong brand, and he saved, what they said, 1.3 million players in America and whatever million in Europe. This is just unbelievable.
You know, obviously, Ellie, you offer up an interesting perspective because, like you mentioned, you are very good friends with Howard, despite everything that has gone on here. How does it make you feel when you hear, whether it's other poker players or people in the media going after Howard and saying all these negative things about him? How does that make you feel?
Well, I was watching all the... First of all, let's go back to those the 7 series tape that I watched on Poker News. And... It was some new stuff for me because I was never involved in some of this stuff. I think that Howard got a lot of guts to come out there, and he showed a lot of class. He could have been a little more quiet, you know, because all what they said, but he decided to go and pull up all the cards on the table. And you know what? Okay, some people believe part of it and some people don't believe part of it. But, I mean, I didn't see any other players or any other board member decided to come up and put his input in there the way that he did for 7 hours. So he definitely put his name on the line. And going to back to your question, I play with Matt Glantz and I play with all the people that say good things and bad things about him. And I have conversation with Jennifer Harmon, with Mike Madison, with everybody on the table. And I can tell you that hours and hours during play, they talk about full tilt and stuff. I will never lose the respect for him because I don't think he changed. Without Howard Leder, all those guys that thinking that they can come and point on him, you know, point the, you know, on Howard and say that he is to blame, he made every one of them rich. And that's the way I look at it. I remember when he started the company. I have the option to buy piece, and I didn't back then because I owned like a liquor license and gaming license here in Vegas. So I talked to my attorney, and they said, no, it's going to be interfering. So, but I remember that he gave the option to a lot of people, and I remember that he busted his ass for, 3 years almost or more? And then I flew with him back from London, when he said, I'm done, I kind of retired, I did my best and I passed everything because I wanted to be with my family and with my kids, you know? So he did his part. In the last 2 years when he wasn't involved, I believe he was involved a lot more than what everybody thinks, but he wasn't involved in a big decision. And that's why I will never blame him. I believe that if he would be on board, none of those things we would be talking about, you know? Because he was the man that basically started this company and make it as big as it is, you know.
I think that's fair. That's a very fair point that you bring up, that Howard did, you know, get this company going off the ground and get it started. And, you know, maybe he was guilty at the end of letting the company just got too big for the people that were running it. But I mean, as we've mentioned, you're friends with Howard, and the one thing that I'll be honest with you that's always bothered me was when the DOJ amended their complaint and said that Howard bought luxury cars and paid his mortgage after Black Friday with money from Full Tilt Poker, which didn't make sense. You know, that didn't seem like a fair thing to do.
Yeah, that was after Black Friday. That's what
the DOJ released an amended complaint saying that Howard bought 3 cars, a Maserati and a couple of Audis, and paid his mortgage and did some other things with money from Full Tilt Poker that came out of Full Tilt Poker after Black Friday.
Yeah, obviously, but it could... Oh, I don't know if the money came after Black Friday, but if it's his money, he got the rights to do... I mean, is it fair that Phil Ivey took the money and gamble it or have it before? They all drew the money right away. Apparently, only Chris Ferguson didn't, you know?
Sure.
And he's the one that held the company, but... I mean, I cannot go to his head and see why he decided to go and do it after Black Friday. But I'm still standing behind my word that without him, the company wouldn't be so big, you know. And I do have also a lot of, you know, Daniel Negreanu, your guys, you know. He come up with all kind of statements sometimes. And, you know, when he's pulling his guns out, he don't care. He's just... He go all the way, and I told him straight up to Daniel a couple of times, I don't agree with some of his statements against those guys because, you know, I don't think that everything was planned the way that he make it look like, you know, make it look like everything was planned from the beginning to do this, whatever they call it, Ponzi scheme, which I don't think it's a Ponzi scheme.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is, again, this is my opinion. I think before one time they asked me, I think it was card player or something, and I didn't want to go to details. This is the first time I go to details and I tell you really my thought. But
well, we certainly appreciate it, Ellie. And I'll tell you that the truth is that you have a very unique position in poker. You know, I think you're a very well-respected person, both as a businessman and as a poker player. And I think you're a very straight shooter. And I mean, in all the years and the interviews that we've done with you, you've always been fair about that. So, you know, I'm not trying to put you on the spot here and put you in a difficult position because I know you and Howard are friends. But, you know, it would be not very good of me as a radio host to not ask you that question because you are a fair person. And, you know, I think a lot of the opinions offered both ways have been a little bit unfair. And I was just looking for a balanced and fair opinion from you.
No, that's fair enough. I mean, if you wouldn't ask me that, I guess you're right. I mean, your audience wouldn't be able to get the right answer. I told you what I think, and I'm telling you what I'm going to tell Howard in his face and Daniel in his face and Phil Ivey in his face. Everybody, I got opinion for everybody. You know, some of the stuff, a lot of people keeping in their heart. I just pull it all out. If you would ask me, yes, I would love to stay on. If Tilt will come back, I would love to stay on the company as a pro, you know, when they come back. Because I thought that this was one of the best company out there. And, I mean, all this idea with the, you know, with the avatars and pros, chat with the pros and play those tournaments. I'm sure every one of us miss it, even the poker style customers, you know.
Now, you'd mentioned, Ellie, that, you know, obviously you weren't part of the business, and at one time they may have come up to you to offer you something, but did you ever get a sense, you know, being with Howard or just playing or talking to other people that it was this bad, that Full Tilt was going to end up like this?
Never, ever, no. No, I mean, in the 5 years the company was up, you know how many times I used to wake up with a cold sweat and said, shit, I had $2-3 million in a box when they offer it for $400,000 a point, and I didn't buy it. You know, I could have, you know, none of my businesses, all of my businesses, real estate, wasn't, you know, earned this kind of return. You know, now of course people will that listening to us will say, yes, this return was coming on account of players' money, but it wasn't. It wasn't. It was just a very, very bad management in the end. That they could have easily, instead of giving whatever they gave per point, you know, and that was in the tens of thousands of dollars, they could have relaxed for 1 year and don't give any or give half of it, and then everything would be good. And that's the reason I'm saying that if Howard was there, or Gus Hanson, or somebody that can run it very good, even Phil Ivey, they would stop giving any bonuses, and the company will be here today and still competing, you know, in Europe.
It was a difficult spot, and part of the problem that came was that the company was so successful and it did so well, maybe beyond anyone's wildest dreams, that, you know, maybe it just got too big for it. But, you know, we didn't mean to put you on the spot, Ellie, but we wanted to ask, and you've always been fair. I thank you for taking the time to talk with us, and hopefully in the very near future, all this stuff is behind us and we can talk about all the great things that are going on in your life and everyone else's life and have some fun with poker.
All right, Rob and Chris, you guys are the best for poker. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks a lot, Ellie.
There is Ellie Alezra joining us here on The Poker Show. Coming up on the final segment of the program, we'll be joined by Mike Matisau, who will get his thoughts on the whole Howard Lederer situation as well. I'm Rob Wong. This is The Poker Show with Chris DeCiro, brought to you by PartyPoker.net on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
PartyPoker.net invites you to win it all in Montreal. Play in one of the daily online qualifiers and earn your way to a seat in the World Poker Tour Montreal at the world-famous Playground Poker Club. This is your chance to play for a share of over $1 million in Canada's biggest World Poker Tour. Qualify now for free at PartyPoker.net. No one does the WPT like PartyPoker.net. Terms and conditions apply. Players must be aged 18 or over.
This is The Poker Show with Chris DeCiro, brought to you by PartyPoker.net on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Rob Wong and the aforementioned Chris DeCiro, and we got a star-studded program for you this evening. We just had Ellie Alezra, and joining us on the program now is Mike Matisau. How's it going, Mike?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing very well, thanks. And I believe this is the first time we've had you on the show, so welcome to the program, first off. And what have you been up to lately?
Playing poker.
Where have you been making your way over to the Aria and playing in the games over there with JR and Crazy Mike and the crew?
Yeah, I just playing a lot of mixed game.
And how's that going for you?
Good. Can't complain, one every day.
It's we were just speaking with Ellie, and Ellie was saying that it's nice now. You know, you get the Bellagio going a little bit, you get the Aria going a little bit, it's nice to have the selection of some good cash games playing everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't complain. I've been doing all right.
Now, one thing I wanted to ask you, Mike, I know that you you follow most of what goes on in the sports world lately, and I know we'd get an unabashed opinion from you. What did you think at the end of the Green Bay game?
Well, I don't know. Between me and Doyle, we had like 250,000 on the game, and we lost. So what do you think?
It was just one of those things, and you know, now more and more in the past week, people are starting to talk about maybe the fix was in referees who don't make any money at all, who have short-term lives, that maybe someone got to someone there.
It had to be. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's one thing. The end of the game, really, it had to watch the game to really understand the pass interference call, the rough and the passer call. The roughing the passer call against Brian Wilson on the drive where he threw the interception was like he was going full force, and he tackled his feet at the same motion, and they called roughing the passer. There was nothing roughing about that. Then they called the guy pushed off. They called offensive pass interference, and then that. So maybe.
Yeah, that's really the crazy part, and obviously we don't have to worry about that anymore in the NFL as the regular referees are back, but it seemed like a lot of money moved, especially in Las Vegas with that game. You know, speaking with Ellie, Mike, he had mentioned that you've been doing a lot out in the casino in San Diego. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I was playing in San Diego for a while, but I haven't been lately. I mean, I played for like 4 months, and then down there, and then I moved back here. The game was real good down there, and then while I was winning all the money down there, everybody was crying how they cheat down there. And then I go, well, I hope they keep cheating. So then when I moved back here, I started playing. They started playing down there, and now I guess they're not cheating anymore. So I think it's pretty funny.
Well, one of the things that we wanted to ask you about, Mike, is this. If you haven't been living under a rock in the last little while, finally a lot of the Full Tilt stuff has started to come up. And, you know, one of the things that's, for anybody who hasn't read your book, and I heartily recommend it, Chuck Ray's The Devil, which is Mike Matizow's story, is a great story. You had a chance to invest in Full Tilt Poker at one point and passed up on it. And looking at everything that's going on now, especially in the past week or two with the resurgence in the press of everything, are you glad you didn't?
No, why would I be glad I didn't? They're all multimillionaires. I mean, think about it. DeWanda's worth $40 million. Seidel's worth about $40 million. God knows how much Phil Gordon's worth and how much Andy Block's worth and Howard's worth. I mean, they're all worth millions and millions of dollars. You think they're ever going to get their money? I'd rather have the $30 million sitting in my box, trying to get it from me, than not have it at all.
Well, and that's exactly what Ellie Elezra said as well. Is he for different reasons, he was advised because of his gaming licenses and whatnot, and his businesses in Vegas advised not to invest in Full Tilt at the time. And he, you know, he said the same time he was kicking himself because of just how much money was there to be made.
Right.
But does that lead you to? I mean. And that was probably part of the problem, was that I don't know if anyone expected it to get as big as it got, and for that much money to be involved with basically just a bunch of guys, you know, getting their money together with Ray and a bunch of poker players and investing in a company that just took off like wildfire.
Yeah, well, it took off so like crazy because Ray was sitting there spending all the players' money to use it on commercials and advertising. That's why.
So when you have you had a chance to watch Howard's interviews?
No. No interest either.
Yeah.
I talked to Howard on the phone 2 hours, two for like 2 hours, like a week and a half ago, and you know, we talked about things. So, I mean, it's not like I have, and I'm friends with him, so it's not like I have any interest in listening to any of that shit.
You know, and Ellie obviously is good friends with him as well, and we asked him how it made him feel with, you know, all the negative things going around being said about Howard, whether it's from players, people in the media, you know, people that are just poker fans in general. I mean, how does that make you feel when you hear all those things?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Howard's not, he's an honest guy. I mean, he's not a, did he f*** up? Like, he told me on the phone, he goes, Mike, did we screw up? Yes. Did I run the company poorly? Yes. Did I make mistakes? Yes. You know, he admitted all that to me. He says, but, you know, I'm not a thief. I didn't steal from anybody. And I'm, you know, and I'm not, and I did everything in my power to try and get the money, people's money back to them, you know. And I believe them. I believe him when he says that. Other people might not, but I do. But, you know, I'm not going to stand behind Howard's back because, you know, me and Howard have had our times. We've had our, you know, we've also had our ups and downs too. When he was running Full Tilt, so where I felt like I was slighted a lot. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, animosity, not towards Howard, more or less towards Ray. You know, towards when they were running Full Tilt and they were greedy. So, you know, it's a catch-22. They were greedy and treated me poorly. Then they wanted to be the nice guy. Then this all happened. So, you know, whatever. I don't think Howard's a thief. That's all. That's the only thing I can say. Other than that, do I think he's a greedy? Yes. Do I think they f***ed up the company? Yes. You know?
Well, and I think, you know, again, part of the problem with the court of public opinion, which is the worst court for anybody, is that everyone's just offering basically their opinion based on very few facts. And there's a lot we have to find out about this yet. But one of the things that did come out in the amended DOJ indictment was that after Black Friday, Howard was still buying luxury cars and paying his mortgage with Full Tilt Poker money that was coming out of the company after Black Friday.
Yeah, well, that's where the biggest mistake they made. I mean, they were still giving out. I mean, well, I don't know if they were taking. I don't think after Black Friday they were still taking. What's it called? Who knows? I mean, for the next 4 months. I mean, everything. I remember everything till the June 23rd was. So April, May, June for 3 months, they were treating it like nothing even happened.
Right, so as a Team Full Tilt member, you were still getting your pay?
No, I didn't get paid at all. No, I didn't get paid at all for 3 months.
Do you think there ever comes a time, Mike, and, you know, you kind of touched on it, where, you know, all these people are saying these things and not believing Howard? Do you think there's ever a time where people will change their thoughts on Howard Lederer and, you know, he'll get back into the good books of some people?
Well, I know he wants to come back and start playing again because he's already told me that. Told me he wants to start playing in the next couple weeks. So, and it's not because he needs to start playing. You know what I'm trying to say? He's got plenty of money.
Well, I mean, if that's what you do, if you're a poker player, and like Ellie mentioned to us, that, you know, well, all this in the past, you know, year that there's been regular games at Howard's house with Ellie and Ray and, you know, other people playing. I mean, he's a poker player. He's got to play poker.
Yeah, so that's, you know, pretty much what he wants to do.
One of these things that they, you know, again, talk about the court of public opinion is that everybody in the world seems to have offered an opinion. And, you know, more and more guys are coming out, and some are pro and some are con. And, I mean, do you think, you know, I know that you're not someone that had the inside scoop on what was going on in the board of directors, but, you know, do you think that the truth is somewhere in the middle, or is... Or they're just people flat out lying in this on one side or the other.
I think they're all crooks. They got what they deserve. But I think Alan, I don't think Howard's a thief.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, friends are friends, and one of the things people do is stand behind each other. So,
I don't think Howard intentionally stole a quarter from anybody. But I think everybody else is Full Tilt or thieves.
Who do you mean by that?
Where'd all the money go?
The money that was paid out to players or paid out to the owners?
All of it.
Yeah. Well, I guess we will find out over time where all the money went exactly. You know, that's going to be the case as it comes out. But at least it's on the table now, and hopefully we get to see, you know, everybody back doing what they're supposed to do and, you know, back where they belong. And hopefully we get to see more of you out there playing poker. Yeah.
Honestly, I really don't. I try not to talk about Full Tilt because Full Tilt, they destroyed my life. They're all rich, sitting on a beach. Andy Block's rich. Phil Gordon's the richest of rich. Nobody talks a thing about Juwan or Seidel. They're richer than everybody. They won't give a quarterback to anybody. They got more money. They made more money from Full Tilt than anybody. You know?
And do you think they should give it back?
No, but, I mean, when people needed to give money back, I mean, at least Chris Ferguson gave $17 million of all his money back. And you don't see Juwan and Seidel putting any of their money out there. I'm just saying, you know, they're all the same owners. You see what I'm saying? And that's what Howard, I guess, wrote in his files. I haven't even listened to any of them, but I guess he said that in his file.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really has been a crazy situation, to say the least. We really appreciate you joining us, Mike, and hopefully we'll do this again down the road.
You got it.
There is Mike Mattisau joining us here on the Poker Show. And Chris, definitely an outspoken person, to say the least. We already know that, but definitely had some interesting things to say regarding his thoughts on Full Tilt.
Yeah, I mean, interesting things like motherfucker and cocksucker and piece of shit and... I didn't know we could say any of those things on the radio.
No, I don't think you can, but you just did. Don Collins will probably be sending us an email sometime within
Don Collins.
The next...
I've heard of him.
Yeah, I've heard of him. He's my boss.
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, Rob.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
I guess you're now out of work like an NFL replacement referee.
That very well could be the case with that. So we'll see what happens on next week's edition of the Poker Show.
Well, you know, he did say something, all kidding aside, really interesting to me, and that was that in speaking with Howard Letter in the last little while in his two-hour conversation, that Howard said he plans on returning to poker within the next couple of weeks. And that, to me, does lend some credence to the thought that this whole letter tape thing was just premeditated in an attempt to pave his way back into the world of poker. And it's not that he's interested in finally breaking his silence. It's something that he has to do in order to achieve his goal of being back in the poker world.
Very well said, Chris. Of course, you can follow Mr. Tesero on Twitter, at Chris Tesero. You can follow me, at Wong SN590. If you ever miss an edition of The Poker Show, you can find us on iTunes or sportsnet590.ca. I'm Rob Wong for Chris Tesero. This has been The Poker Show, brought to you by PartyPoker.net on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.